Okay, we're going to pick up. We are doing with 5331, I think it is.
5331?
Okay. 5331. Because she's talking about these supernatural gifts and experiences, mm-hmm. and then she says not everybody's going to have them. And so, in addressing the issue of those who do not receive the supernatural experiences she discusses in this dwelling place, she says, true union can very well be reached with God's help if we make the effort to obtain it by keeping our wills fixed only on that which is God's will. Mm-hmm. If what you say is true, you will have obtained this favor from the Lord, and you needn't care at all about the other delightful union that was mentioned, which is the infused prayer of union. That which is most valuable in the delightful union is that it proceeds from this union of which I am now speaking. And one cannot arrive at the delightful union if the union coming from being resigned to God's will is not very certain. So she's really making a big point about
God's will.
Making sure you follow God's mm-hmm. will and don't try to go off on your own will you know, and do stuff. Oh, how desirable is this union with God's will. Happy the soul that has reached it. Such a soul will live tranquilly in this life and in the next as well. So what do we have to do for our souls to keep its will fixed on and only on that which is God's will?
Ask God to help you discern His will and to give you the grace to make it happen.
Yep.
And abandonment to God's will. Give your will.
Yeah, just
do only what God's will.
Yeah, and just ask God to inspire you with each of the things you do. Mm. You know, every day when you go to communion, when you receive it, say, please help me to always live in accordance with your holy will.
Right.
Simple little request, you know?
Yeah.
It's a way to do it. And then she gives us some hints, I think as we've seen before, by keeping God's commandments.
Right.
If you do that, you're doing His will.
Mm.
And by loving God and loving your neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
Those three things, and you're pretty much doing His will.
Mm.
And then He's going to send things into your life to deal with.
Mm.
And so you have to be ready for that. And when you get something new in your life, say, thank you. And then how do you want me to deal with this?
Mm.
You get a cantankerous person that comes into your life. It's a test for your patience, right? Mm. And so they are all kind of things He's going to send you that at first you may not realize is a gift.
Mm. But the longer you live, you see it.
Yeah, but it really can be a gift. Even if it's something that's hard to deal with, that's part of your building up your character and strength and everything else to deal with it. And so that's...
I laugh because God has a sense of humor. And, you know, my husband had a great sense of humor. I'm Irish, I have a sense of humor. And I can find His will in the funniest things. Like I got a pair of dungarees and I'm short and they're this much too long. Well, I mean, I'll tell you how long it took me. I was 1 hour cutting and pinning, and I said to John, I said, too bad you're not here. You used to say, stand there, turn the engineer. No, it's too high, it's too low.
No,
I said, here, I'm all by myself, God.
Yeah.
It was an hour and a half, and I messed it up so badly, and I said, that's it, Lord. I said, I offered it all up to you for the holy souls. I got to put it away. And I got to go back this morning and do another leg. And I said, but that's you know, it's funny stuff, too.
Yeah.
But it drove me out of my mind.
But that's an interesting approach because when I got some pajamas, I had the same problem because I'm kind of short.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
So I had these long pajamas. I just got scissors and just cut the bottoms.
That's a man, right?
I didn't measure anything.
I could just see you pinning and basting.
And John would say, oh, the hell's going to look at your legs and see where it goes.
I had pants all the time. And that's what my husband says. No one's laying on the ground looking to see if they're even.
That's exactly. This was way off, though. This was big.
That was my pain in the bedroom.
So we keep our wills fixed on God's love for us, and that's a big thing. We love Him back.
Yeah.
He loves us first. We love Him in response, and we look for signs of that. Mm-hmm. That's something we oftentimes don't do.
Mm-hmm.
But we knowing that He loves us infinitely, that He wants us to be with Him, look for those little signs of love, those little pecks on the cheek that He'll send to you from time to time. You know. And just be sensitive and aware of those things. A lot of times they happen, and you're busy in your life, and you don't even notice them. You know, they go off to the side. But just kind of keep yourself tuned to that relationship you have with God, And when you're more in tune with the relationship, then that's easier for you to recognize those things when they come. Mm-hmm. So that's something to keep in mind. Mm. Okay, Teresa speaks of different kinds of sufferings. Some are produced by our human nature. She says these sufferings pass quickly. She also says that consolations in prayer do not reach the soul's depth, but only the senses and the faculties. Whereas the consolations kind of make you feel good. Mm-hmm. But, you know, she's building a case for how different the experiences in this fifth dwelling place are compared to what has come before, but also as to what's coming later, saying that they are found in the previous dwelling places, but they do not enter the last ones still to be explained, since the suspension of the faculties is necessary in order to reach these. The Lord has the power to enrich souls through many paths and bring them to these dwelling places without using the shortcut that was mentioned as the prayer of recollection. And when I contacted him last about the brochures, I told him we were using the Terry Castle for our study, mm-hmm. and the people want the mm-hmm. things. So he said he was going to light a fire under the guys who were making the renovations.
So that prayer isn't in here?
No, it's not.
I wonder why. Yeah.
It's
a folder.
It's in her life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's in two or three chapters mm-hmm. in her life, which mm-hmm. she talks
yeah.
about it.
Yeah. That book is in the library here, and I saw it, and I forgot the name of it. What is it, A Perfection of Life?
The Way of Perfection.
Right. Yeah, mm-hmm. and it was in it.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you could look it up in that index?
Yeah, I don't know. It was like a chapter for it. Mm-hmm. And this one has it in it, too, but I don't really, I haven't really called.
But I got an email from the president of the Carmelites, and she said she heard from the monastery. It's coming out at the end of October.
Okay, good.
The prayer?
The little folder that explains the prayer.
The brochure and all, yeah.
Recollection, or whatever the title was.
Yeah, okay, so pretty soon we should have that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, hanging there.
You would
there.
Think she'd have it in there.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think she has it in the book of her life.
Mm. She didn't want to be redundant, she kept saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go look for it. We have to search it.
Yeah. Right?
So she's talked about different kinds of suffering. So you've got, you know, physical sufferings, which she had a lot of, and you also have spiritual sufferings, where, you know, God challenges us a lot of times spiritually in ways that we don't really understand sometimes. But there's all kinds of different sufferings. Teresa seems to make the point of how much God is in control in this dwelling place. Do you think the soul will know when this infused prayer of union happens or is about to happen?
Oh, I think so.
Yeah.
Because it's God working in it, so...
Yeah.
It's also infused, so...
Yeah.
It's going to happen to you, and all of a sudden, whoa, what is this, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And so, yeah.
Or you can look back on things and say, oh...
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
Because in this, when you have the infused prayer, he's going to come to you and just teach you stuff about himself.
Mm.
It's not like an Our Father, Hail Mary kind of thing. It's an awareness of God.
Presence. An awareness, yeah.
Or
something seems more real. That's what always hits me sometimes. Oh, it's much more real, and your brain isn't involved in it. You get a feeling like this is.
It's also clear.
Yeah.
When you have infused prayer like that, it's very clear.
Mm.
It's you're not confused about what's going on. It's very clear that it's coming from God, and He can teach you so much in such a short period of time. You know, it's just really fast. Because she tells you in here that He can teach you more in just a few seconds than you could. Mm-hmm. Learn in you know, reading dozens and dozens of books,
mm-hmm.
and it's true.
Mm.
Yeah, and it's also another indicator. One of the things I love about the idea of the infused prayer, it's another indication of what you told us before about the fact that there's no limit to the capacity of the soul.
Mm.
And I think that's an important point too, because no matter how much you already know about God, He can give you tons more in a fraction of a second, and you can hold it. And when you have this infused prayer, you tend not to forget it,
right?
Which is another good thing, you know. So you're aware it's going on, and it happens really quick, sometimes a few seconds, maybe sometimes a little longer, and you don't forget it. And it gives you a greater awareness of God, and mostly about how much He loves you.
Mm.
It's always a big part of it, you know, because He's saying, I love you, I love you, I want to have you come into union with me. And you think back when you were courting your spouse, how much you wanted to be with that person and how much you wanted to just hold them and everything else and come to union with them. And it's just infinitely more with God because He's infinite. Yeah. And so that's something that you really, you know, you can't miss it when it happens. And the devil will try to imitate it, to try to throw you off balance. But every time the devil tries to do that, it doesn't work. Because he can't give you the peace.
Right.
You know, you have a lot of anxiety and all this kind of stuff. And just a lot of things that just don't work. It never works out the way it seems like it's supposed to work out when it comes from him. And so you say, okay, get out of here. You know, scram, buddy. I don't want any part of you.
Yeah, you know when something's not right in anything. If you don't have peace right, I mean, it can't be.
every time God does something with you, it's always accompanied by peace. And, you know, in love and all that kind of stuff. It's, you don't ever get anxious about it. Sometimes it surprises you and you say, well, what's going on, you know? But you don't have that that kind of unsettling feeling that you would have with anybody else. So Teresa then speaks about the necessity for the little silkworm to die. And that's really talking about a transformation. Not that you're going to die, you know.
But death of self.
Death of self and taking on Christ and becoming converted and becoming like a new spiritual person, you know. Like the butterfly can now fly.
I got to tell you, I'll make it real quick. I was sitting on my sofa 3 days ago and I was out in the garden and I came back in and I'm sitting there and I looked down and I saw this thing about 1.5 inches, 2 inches long crawling up here. But I had my long sleeve shirt on because I always get that. I screamed.
I know you did.
Right? And I went like that. And I got it off, but then I looked on the floor and I couldn't find it. Then I'm more freaky. I said, my God, he's in my hair. He flew. So I don't know why I lost conscious. And I ran down the hall and he was back on my arm. But it was beautiful. It was green, and I took a picture, green and pink.
Oh, yeah.
And it must have been a caterpillar. I picked it up on a spatula, and I said, I was going to kill you, but I can't. You're so beautiful. So I carried him outside to my porch, and it has a wooden railing. So I put the spatula on the railing, and he climbed off, and I got him back on, and I ran to get a camera. And I got him, and I got this picture, and I sent it to my kids. I go, look at this. He was on my own. Beautiful.
You can put him in a jar with a little bit of sugar, and he will hatch into a butterfly.
Oh, God. Excuse me. I didn't know that.
Excellent.
Oh, darn it. But I put him in the grass, and then I went out later, and he was gone.
Probably like that better than a jar.
But pink and green.
Yeah. Bird might have got him.
God, I'll never forget that as long as I live.
Yeah. So we have to go through to go through everything Teresa's trying to bring us to. We have to go through a conversion of some kind. You know, our soul has to grow and morph into something that's greater than it is now. And God does that for us. We can't do it on our own. You know,
that's
He gives us the
shortcut,
great,
right?
It's a shortcut, right? So he's given us the ability to do that, and it's a real transformation. Dietrich von Hildebrand has a wonderful book called Transformation in Christ. If you haven't read it yet, I highly recommend it. It's really good. He said it was his greatest work. You got it?
I have it. I haven't read it, so if you'd like to borrow it,
it's really good.
Free online.
His wife Alice said it was his greatest work. He always thought it was his greatest work. And Pius XII said that he was the greatest lay theologian of the 20th century.
And he was one of the Pope's favorite
writer.
Oh. Yeah.
Maybe it was John Paul. I can't remember.
His wife, I saw her on TV ages
last
ago.
She's recently again.
Yeah, she's an amazing
lady.
For
the week.
Wow.
Yeah. She might still be on this week.
Yeah, I don't know. But he was a great guy. He was he was in really trouble too in Germany.
Mm-hmm. Really trouble.
Because Hitler was after him.
Oh boy.
Yeah, he was always talking about the Nazis,
oh,
you know. And
oh wow.
Hitler didn't like him very much. But anyway, we have to go through that transformation, which means we have to grow. Our soul has to grow in terms of capacity, but it also has to grow in terms of where it is. What is the nature of the soul changing into? The butterfly, the worm is becoming a butterfly. And so you have to be able to fly from one thing to the other to sample everything that God wants you to experience. And so that's a kind of a decent analogy there.
Hmm.
But your life is transformed, and it's transformed in Him. And we talk about transformation in Christ, and that's really what happens. So He's really bringing you to a whole new way of existing spiritually.
Hmm.
So she's talking about a need to die to self in order to take on Christ and live. I said life a life. It's just live a life transformed in Him. A life dedicated to do His will. She says this will take a great deal of effort, but it has great value. The reward will be of great value to the soul. This union with God's will is the union I have desired all my life. This is a quote from her now. It says, this union with God's will is the union I have desired all my life. It is the union I ask the Lord for always, and the one that is clearest and safest. So when she says it's clearest and safest, she means that when you experience this union, you don't have any doubt that's what's going on.
Mm.
You're not worried. It's very clear, and it's very safe. You're not worried that, you know, that Satan's doing it to you, that he's going to attack you or anything like that. It's very safe.
Mm.
So in section 6, Teresa says, how few there must be who reach it. Although whoever guards himself against offending the Lord and has entered the religious life thinks he has done everything. Oh, but there remains
worms.
But there remains some worms, unrecognized until they have gnawed away the virtues.
Mm.
So in other words, they're regressing. They're not progressing.
Mm.
This happens through self-love, self-esteem, judging one's neighbors, even though in little things, a lack of charity for them, and not loving them as ourselves.
Mm.
So even if you're in the religious life, when you have these kind of things going on, you're really regressing, and you're not progressing, and you're never going to reach the prayer of union, because all those things are impediments.
Mm.
They're stopping you from getting there.
So once they gave up silence and community prayer, they had a lot more trouble.
Oh, yeah. And the habits, too. I don't know. I mean, that's good and bad, but I know.
Yeah, but they start, when they give up silence, they start nagging at each other.
Yeah. Because they're women.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
What people do, you know.
And they got sensitivity training instead.
Yeah, my girlfriend's still a Dominican in Spark Hill, and she's a riot. She talks about, she's a doll. She talks about them. Yeah, she said these newcomers coming in. She said they're changing everything. She said them and their social justice and all this.
Yep.
Oh, she goes,
wow. It's sad. It is sad.
Yeah, it's a problem.
Well, it's a problem. We want to live by ourselves,
people do that, you know.
Yeah.
But they say don't ever try to become a hermit. Live in community first, and then become a hermit if you feel called to it.
Yeah.
Never try to do that first.
Mm.
It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Because you need to love your neighbor. Yeah. And if you're by yourself all the time, who are you going to love?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You got to learn how to.
It's too easy.
Yeah.
Watching a show, and I think I told you before, it's called Alone. Well, now they got a new one. It's called Alone in Australia.
Oh.
And they dumped all these people on this really terrible island coast or something.
Yeah.
And they got all these terrible bugs. It's hot. Usually it's Alaska and it's freezing. Yeah. Well, now it's a hot thing.
Yeah.
And one woman said, I'm never alone. I'm always with my family. I just want to be alone and have some peace. She didn't even make it a day. She said, I guess I can't be alone. And my husband's going, the show's called Alone. And it was funny. And I was like, you think you really want to get away from it. And she just couldn't. She was like crying. She just couldn't
see
do
that.
It.
Yeah, there's a time for everything, you know, I think. It's like when I'm alone, but it's fine because I had a, you know, I mean.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm alone, but not really, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
So even though we may fulfill our obligations and avoid sin, It is not enough for complete union with the will of God. In what ways can we progress toward union with the will of God? How can we recognize the subtle ways the devil tries to draw us into self-love, self-esteem, and failure to love our neighbor?
How can we progress toward union with God? I think start in little ways. You can't reach the goal, like from 0 to 10. At 10,
right.
You have to. It's practice,
take it
I think.
Step at a time, yeah.
Praying and practicing and
yeah.
doing it in little things, and then it builds.
Yeah.
It becomes a habit then, maybe.
And you have to do it deliberately.
Mm.
I think there's a certain deliberateness in the process. You don't just sit back and wait for it to happen. You know, you got to deliberately do stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so when you find yourself thinking well of yourself, self-love and all, you got to say, oh, what's going on here? You got to kind of say, well, explore. There's nothing wrong with loving yourself, because it says love your neighbor as yourself, right? There's nothing wrong with loving yourself because God created you.
Mm.
But a perverse self-love that says I put myself first ahead of everything mm. else.
Kind of like his shirt.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Exactly. My shirt says, I'm not conceited, but I have every right to be.
There you go.
But that's exactly, that's the exact sentiment, you know? So
yeah.
So when you start thinking too well of yourself,
yeah,
you know, and you always give yourself credit, right?
Yeah.
You always
mm-hmm.
think you're better than you really are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just human nature,
just
right?
Know that.
Yeah.
and that's why Teresa says you'll know you love God by how much you love your neighbor. Because you're always going to say, well, I love God a lot. But how much do you really love God? Well, how do you love your neighbor? And John tells us that in his letters. Remember, he says, if you say you love God but hate your neighbor, then you're a liar
mm-hmm.
because you can't do that. And so that's, you know, so his letter confirms exactly what Teresa's talking mm-hmm. about here. Well, she confirms what his letter says, I guess.
Yeah.
He came first, right? Before Teresa.
Yeah,
I can't remember.
Yeah, John's the apostle. So
John the apostle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think he was, came first.
Yeah.
But the idea of self-love and self-esteem, those go together.
Mm.
You know, and so when you have perverse self-love, you're going to have self-esteem. And that usually exhibits itself by criticizing others. Self-esteem usually is signified by how much you criticize other people. And so the minute you find yourself starting to criticize them, say, oops, what's going on here? That ought to, you know, kind of catch you by the shirt and say, wait a minute, what are you doing here, you know?
Well, you got to think you're better. Mm-hmm. Than the person you're criticizing, so there's the self-love.
Exactly, the self-love and self-esteem.
Oh, I've
right.
fallen into that.
That's right.
Even
that's
Mary
right.
always
that's
says,
right.
yeah.
You know, don't criticize the Pope, just give him to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's hard to do these
yeah.
days.
It's hard to criticize.
Profound.
There's so much going on that it's so easy to criticize.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
It's just crazy.
But she was saying that about John Paul.
That's right. And then failure to love our neighbor. You know, there's so many different ways you can sense that you're failing to love your neighbor right.
Mm.
Not just the way you feel about him, but, you know, just the way you react to him.
Mm.
Yeah, that's always...
Because he's annoying.
Yeah, exactly.
But you can't let people know. I mean, feelings are going to come.
Sure.
You know? But I tell you, oh God, here I go again. I'm in the cul-de-sac, and there's a lady next to me, Grandma, you know, she's...
Uh-huh.
By herself, and then there's a guy at two houses to my right, and I used to see him. Look, I'm on the porch, and so she said to me, it was so cute. She says, "Well, I guess you see." She says, "We're dating." I'm thinking to myself. But anyway, I said, "Wonderful, wonderful. Wish you happiness." But I go,
"Glory be to goodness." Yeah,
really this neighborhood romance. I don't
guy.
Want to tell her about him. It's not my thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, maybe they're going to be very happy together. You know, you can always
exactly.
hope, right?
Exactly.
Maybe
she's,
it's just her idea.
Yeah.
No, and he likes yeah. to. He's
oh.
she's 60 and he's 71.
Oh,
but his health
bad.
Isn't so
it's
great.
Not bad.
But I'm not
it's
telling
not
her. You know, but I mean,
yeah.
they're
yeah.
both happy, lively people.
Mm-hmm.
I go,
sure.
And my husband would say, I still hear John in my head saying, "Mind your own business. Are they bothering you?" He always said that. But it's funny.
So failure to love our neighbor is a big thing. That's an indicator of how much we love God. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things we have to keep in mind all the time there on the failure to love our neighbor, just like what the Apostle John says in his letter. Jesus in the gospel, in the when he talks about the vine and the branches, you remember? Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm the vine, you're the branches. He's telling us several things there. One, that we get all of our spiritual nourishment, the sap from the vine, not from the other branches. Mm. We get it from him. He's the source of our spiritual life. Mm. But he's also telling us that we cannot hate our neighbor and still say we're attached to him and love him. The only way I can separate myself from somebody else on the vine is to cut myself off from the vine. Mm. And when I do that, I die. Mm. I just get thrown into the fire then. Mm. So if you keep that vine image, you know, we're all connected together through Christ. We're all united together through him. And so I can't look at you and say, I hate you, but I love God. You know, it just doesn't work. Mm. That's the point John makes. And that's what she's saying here, too. The failure to love our neighbor. There are all kinds of ways we can express the lack of a love of neighbor. You can gossip about them. Mm. You can, you know, just be mean to them. Mm. All kind of things like that. There's all kind of ways you can do that. But you can also just be nasty and never say hello. You know, you can say, you know.
I did that to my daughter this morning. I wasn't awake. Was it nasty? But you know.
But there are all kinds of subtle ways you can show a lack of love for a neighbor. Mm. But so even if somebody does irritate you, mm-hmm. You can still be charitable to them and still act nice to them. Mm. Just like Teresa had to do with the nun that irritated her. She thought he was her best friend. You know.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, so that's a good example of love of neighbor. Mm-hmm. So we can just imitate the saints in the way we do that. St. John Vianney is a good example there. You know, the model for priests. Mm. We think of ourselves and we go about our daily lives and our families and all, but think of what a priest does, dealing with an entire parish as big as ours every day and having to love every single one of them. Mm-hmm. You know, think of how hard that is going to be. You know,
I mean, if he knows people like said things about him or wrote letters or something, he might find out. You know, I mean, that must be a lot on his soul.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Shoulders.
I mean, that's you know, think that's got to be tough.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
that's got to be really tough.
I know someone that criticized. I don't think they go here anymore, but they criticized Father Gould.
Oh, he got criticism all the time.
And she's like, "Oh, I just think he's evil." And I was like, "What?"
Because of his sense of humor, he was abrupt.
Yeah.
People could either handle that or they couldn't.
Yeah.
I was like, "What?"
Yeah.
A lot of people loved him, but he has such a strong personality.
Yeah.
So anyway, loving our neighbor is really a super, super important thing. Mm. And it's the indicator of how much we love God. Mm. You know, so that's something there. So this self-love and self-esteem thing, you have to get your hands around that. Mm. And you got to find a way to deal with that because that's like a killer.
Yeah.
And then failure to love our neighbor. When you fail to love your neighbor, you're automatically, as you said before, you're automatically saying, I'm better. Mm. And you should never compare yourself to other people. Mm. You know, the minute you compare yourself to somebody else, you're going to say, oh, they're so much more holy than I am, and I got to try to be like that. Or, I'm so much holier than they are. Look at me, man. Put my chest out. I'm so holy, you know. It's just a terrible thing.
Some priest once said in a sermon, only compare yourself to God.
Right. That's exactly
right.
And then you'll be humble.
You never know. You think someone's so holy.
And maybe they're not. You know?
We don't know them. We judge a lot. I mean, to a degree, not judge, but you know, they're holy than it. Yeah. We don't know what's in their soul.
Judge New Yorkers, except for you.
Somebody told me once, it was funny, I knew her, she moved away, Pat Ari, she was a riot, and we used to go for coffee, and she says to me, I can't stand New Yorkers. And I go, I'm one. She called me to apologize. I said, I don't hold grudges, but it was so funny. Yeah. New Yorkers, they were friendly when I grew up. Everybody in the
apartment. They're friendly.
Well, they're abrupt.
They're abrupt and aggressive.
And they use the language. They're so devout and go to church all the time and use this horrendous language.
My husband is saying how there's a woman that stopped talking to him at work because one time they walked out of their building and there was a car sitting there and it had a personal license plate. He's got this thing about personal license plate. I don't know what the problem is. But he said, and whatever it said, he said it and he goes, oh, and someone paid for that. And it was her.
Oh, dear.
And she said she never talked to him again.
Yeah. Oh, see that? Yeah, that's
right. You know, and he still brings it up. But I go, well, you know, we all say things like that.
Yeah.
You know, you're just saying it. And
you got to get over what people say. You know, that's
you know,
the
thing. And, I mean, come on, the not talk to someone ever again over something like that. There's worse things in life.
Yeah.
That you could do
well, somebody wanted that plate on their car. What difference does it make? It's not yours. You don't have to have it
on your
car.
Like, why would you pay money to have that on your plate? You know,
you just have to be careful. You never know.
Yeah.
That's
true.
You know?
So Teresa then speaks to understanding what the will of God is. So going back to that whole point, if you're trying to live God's will, how can you live God's will if you don't understand what God's will is?
Mm-hmm. So that was my biggest thing before I even started this book. How do you know God's will? But besides, you say the command is, you know, your daily life. Like, I went to Wegmans, and then I'm thinking afterwards, I had a really bad time, and I really loved Wegmans. And I was like, well, I went on Sunday. Should I have not gone grocery shopping? No. And I get this inner struggle. But then I'm like, well, you know, my husband and daughter, they work, and you know, we're kind of, he said the fridge is really low when they have a work. So everything I could go buy in that grocery store did.
Yeah.
So then I'm like, is that God telling me I shouldn't have gone? But what about your house sleep, your duty for home?
Yeah.
I mean, this whole mental thing.
Yeah.
I bumped into some lady by mistake looking at the fruit and really offended her.
Okay.
And I apologized. Like, you know, like I was picking something and I must have pushed the cart a little ones. And it hit her. I mean, she was really upset with it. Then I was checking out and I dropped, and I got my own bag and I dumped everything. And I mean, I had everything that could go wrong.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so contemplating, should I have not? And then I had someone say to me that at the Legion thing, they said something about how they spilled something, they cleaned it, and they said maybe I shouldn't have done that. They shouldn't have done that because it's working. And I'm going, I went all the way to the grocery store and shopped here. So I don't know.
Yeah.
This thing. So how do you know God's will and all that?
Yeah. Follow His commandments. Love God and love your neighbor.
Well, I apologize to that lady. I felt really bad.
That's all
I'm
you
like,
can do.
Just say a prayer for her.
Yeah, just say a prayer for her. That's right. That's all you can do. So she then addresses that topic. It's a very important thing for her in this section, this idea of following the will of God. She speaks about understanding what the will of God is. She then refers to John 17, verse 22.
Yeah.
See if that helps her.
And she says, the glory you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one. Mm. And that really struck her a lot there, because she's saying that the glory that the Father gave to Jesus, He is now passing on to His apostles. Mm. And so He can pass on His glory to us, even though we're not God.
Mm.
You know, he's God and man.
Mm.
But He can take the glory that the Father gave Him and pass it on to us. And that really made a huge impression on her. In order that they may be one, even as we are one. So she's talking about this prayer of union. And so this phrase here meant so much to her on so many different levels.
Mm-hmm.
That God's glory that He gave Jesus, Jesus could then pass on to us. So He's passing on to us the same glory that the Father passed on to Him. And so, you know, she thinks about that. And then that they may be, and then because of that, and as a result of that, they may be one even as we are one. So he says they may be one as we are one. So we receive his glory, and then he wants to make us one with him. The prayer of union. That's what she's talking about here. Driving there. So this one little phrase here really solidified a lot of concepts that were going through her head. And it really struck her. And I can understand that. If you read John 17, there's stuff in there you can meditate on for a year and never get tired, you know. It's just so rich and stuff to think about. But that one phrase really struck with Teresa because it kind of hit all of her hot buttons that she was dealing with in this fifth dwelling place here. She says, the Lord doesn't have to grant us great delights for this union. And that's an important thing, too. You don't have to have all these spiritual delights and everything else in order to go into a spiritual union with God. He can bring you there without any of all this other stuff. You know?
Now, St. Therese didn't have all those raptures like St. Therese
like
had at all.
Yeah, right. And she tells us in the interior castle here that you don't have to have any of the stuff I'm talking about. Some of you don't, but you can still progress and still reach the final end. You don't need all the other things. She says, you don't have to get great delights for this union. Sufficient is what he has given us in his Son, who would teach us the way. So all we need is Christ. If you come into union with Christ, that's all you really need. Don't think the matter lies in my being so conformed to the will of God that if my father or brother dies, I don't feel it. Or that if there are trials or sickness, I suffer them happily. She said, I'm still human. I've got a family. I love my parents. I love my siblings. You know, I still don't like it when I get sick. I still suffer. And I'm not very happy about it. But I still accept it because that's God's will. If it wasn't his will that I got sick, I wouldn't be sick. The Lord asks of us only two things, love of God and love of neighbor. By observing them with perfection, we do his will, and so we'll be united with him. So the idea of that loving God and loving neighbor, we have to look at how we do that. How do we love God and how do we love neighbor? And our goal is to strive to perfection in those two things. Remember, Jesus said, be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. This is part of what he was talking about here.
Sometimes I think the suffering is to pull you around other people. Like, say you broke your leg, and then you got to do therapy. And so you're around other people, and maybe these are people that don't see God in anything, you know. And even though you're going, oh, man, I got to go through this or whatever. And, you know, I don't know if we're always talking about God at these things, but maybe there's something that's so, you know, we're so...
An example.
Yeah, we're so immersed in all this stuff, just our jewelry and stuff. They're probably not even exposed to some of that stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
So
yeah.
We
that's
don't
true.
Know. Yeah.
Right.
So I got to say that when I got to go to physical therapy.
Yeah.
Or get the car worked on.
Yeah. One of the... in the prayer of the consecration to the precious blood, it talks about, you know, yes, God, to make my heart a chalice of your blood that'll pour out onto everybody I encounter.
Yeah.
You know, it's an interesting idea that your heart could be a chalice with the precious blood that you then share with other people that you encounter, not by pouring it on them, but just by just being with them. That they
like
begin to sense there's something different there, you know?
Yeah.
It's like a ripple effect, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe it'll bump them along or bump someone else along.
Yeah. That Kathy Davies, do you remember her? She went every day and she got COVID.
Yeah.
And they said she was such an example to the people in the hospital, everybody.
Because. And you know, those people don't forget that, right?
No.
They're not.
Yeah.
Right. And that's so unusual. They would really, she was special.
So, there's
a
ripple effect
and
all of that.
Yeah.
Since the Lord asks us only two things, by observing them with perfection, we do his will, and so we'll be united with him. So she's given us the answer we were looking for here. If we have perfect love of God and love of neighbor, or strive for that perfection, that's the thing that's going to lead us into the union with Christ. and that's what we want to do. May it please His Majesty to give us this, His grace, so that we might merit, if we want, to reach this state that lies within our power. So that's the other half of that coin. We will come into union with God if we have the right love of God and love of neighbor. But we may not experience it. We may not know it.
Hmm.
But He will let us. He said, may it please His Majesty to give us His grace so that we might merit, if we want, to reach the state that lies within our power. So this, doing this lies within our power, because we have to be the one to love God and love our neighbor. We use His grace to do it. We ask for His grace to do it, because we can't do anything on our own. But it's something we have to do. So we have to cooperate with God in order to receive the prayer of union. It's not something He's just going to give us without any effort on our part. And so it's a He gives us the grace to do it. We have to use that grace to accomplish it. So it's a kind of a, you know, He's like holding our hand. So, okay, come on, Johnny, let's go. Let's try this out here. See what we can do here. For those of us in the world, how hard is it to do these two things, love God and love our neighbor? Does not Scripture say we must love God with our whole heart, our whole mind, and our whole soul, and love our neighbor as ourselves? So yes, Scripture does say that. So the whole thing is just never losing sight of that, I think. It's a big deal. We need to constantly keep that in the back of our minds, because we're going to have all kinds of encounters with other people and all kinds of opportunities to think about how much we love God. Every time we see something on the news that's, you know,
awful.
It's awful. We say, my God, God, please help these people, you know. Bring us back.
I watched the news this week, and they had, what was this person? I can't think of the name of it. It was a man dressed up as a lady.
Oh, yeah.
And she was out, made principal of a grammar school.
I know.
I can't forget the name. I don't know what they call these people, trans this or that. And then he hired somebody just like him. So they got two in the school now.
Poor kids.
And they had makeup, and they're out like this. I caught these kids. It's frightening.
It is frightening.
And one of them, the principal, was arrested on pedophile charges.
Of course.
Years back.
Yeah. Well, they got horrible things going on right now. Jesse Waters, on his show last week, had a guy who was a man who was trying to become a woman. And he was going to try to have a uterine implant. Because he wanted to get pregnant. Because he wanted to be the first trans man to have an abortion.
Yeah.
That was the whole point of going through all that, just to have an abortion. Think of how sick you have to be.
Satanic.
That's satanic.
I think we're hitting a peak. There's some stuff this coming is about October. I think a lot of the stuff is just out there.
I mean, Mary said it will appear as though Satan is winning. And I think he already looks that way.
It looks that way.
When you think of how many things are just it's like considered normal. You know?
But then some people say, priests, that you don't really want the chastisement to come because what about all the people that are good that are going to suffer during that?
You don't worry about that.
No.
You offered it up, you know? That's what your mother always told you, right?
I mean, half my family's a fixed, not in the church.
Right.
What are you going to do? You just pray and say, you know. But I mean, there's so many things, like, I can't remember, like, just filling out the doctor stuff to go for a visit. All of it's just so standard now on the forms.
And
I'm like, how did that get that way?
So fast.
Yeah.
Well, if you read the novena to the Precious Blood, at the end of that, there are two messages that Jesus gave Bernard. And he says, offer your family to my precious blood. He said, I will convert them before the tribulation.
Is that Bernard of Clairvaux?
No.
Oh,
it's a young man from Nigeria.
That wrote this novena? Precious, the precious blood.
Right, yeah. Well, he didn't write it. We wrote it down, but Jesus gave it to him.
Oh.
So all the prayers in there are what Jesus. If you don't have it, let me know and I'll send it to you.
Yeah. He wasn't the young boy that Jesus and Mary used to appear to, and then he learned all his catechism and went to the priest when he was older. And he said, I want to be a Catholic. And the priest said, you have no training. And the priest asked him all the questions. He knew theology. Yeah. I think he became a priest. Yeah. And I don't know if that's the same one.
There's a few young guys.
Yeah.
But he was in Nigeria.
Oh, I wonder.
And so if you want, I'll send this to you.
Yeah, please send it.
Because he also has a bunch of promises. At the end, he said, if you take the chaplet and make a novena with the chaplet, then these are the things I promised to do for you. And it's really, really, really interesting. Yeah. So I'll send that to you.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. The whole chaplet is kind of like the Divine Mercy. Because it's got five meditations.
Yeah.
Each one is on the different wounds of Christ.
Okay.
Left hand, right hand, left foot, right foot in the side.
Mm.
And then with each one. And then it's interesting because after each one, there's a little prayer that says, Precious blood of Jesus Christ, save us in the whole world.
Oh, really?
You say that 12
really
times.
Yeah.
And so.
Father Blanc gave us those cards that say that.
Right.
The precious blood one, this one you think?
Precious blood.
Because I know I've heard of it.
Yeah, I got that one.
Yeah, that's it.
Is that the same phrase?
Yeah, I think so. There's also a book about that whole thing.
Oh.
And I got that on my Kindle. I got everything on my Kindle.
I'm overwhelmed with all these different
things.
I actually sent one to my sister-in-law. She's like, I can't do it anymore. Now I'm doing the Holy Face, Holy Trinity.
Yeah.
And the priest came and talked about it, that wrote the book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's on TAN. Oh, it was interesting.
Where was that?
It was at Holy Trinity, last month or something.
Really?
What's really funny is that you can, when you look at the prayers, the first time you say the novena, precious blood, it seems like it's taking forever to say it because it's new to you.
You're not used to it.
Yeah.
But after you say it a few times, it takes like 10 minutes.
It doesn't
take much time at all.
Yeah.
So I've incorporated that into my mass preparation prayers. I say it every morning.
Or even after communion.
Yeah, you can do it. Exactly. Yeah. You can do it anytime you want.
Right.
Yeah.
It's quick, too.
I just try to associate it with the mass somehow.
Yeah.
Because that's, you know, the big deal.
Yeah.
But it's got some interesting things in there. And each of the petitions covers a part of our life. You know, one says protect the church from the evil. Other says protect people from being attacked by Satan. Help those who are dying. All kinds of, you know, so each one of those five petitions covers something else asking God for help with and all. But it's pretty interesting, yeah. I'll send it to you.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. So we're going to stop here.
Okay.
Pick up with 589.
I'll be here next week. I've got to get my car lifted.
9-1 list.
I'm running out 3 days. So it's a Monday or Friday.
Yeah. Okay. And I'm almost finished doing the thing for the next dwelling place.
Okay. Can we give you some money for all that paper and print?
I've only got two left to go.
Yeah, how many dwelling places are there?
It's got 11 chapters. So I've done 9 chapters, only got 2 chapters to go.
Okay.
But what I'm trying to do on the 6 and 7 is not put questions out like we've been doing. I think I mentioned that before.
Yeah.
But just bring up topics for discussion.
Oh.
Because none of us are at that level yet, I don't think.
Right, with questions.
Some of us might be. I don't know. Ugh. If you are, let me know. I'd like to know what it's like.
You'll find out whether you are or not.
So I thought
we could just pick up topics for discussion.
Yeah,
that's good.
I go back and forth.
So we do that. So we do that on 6 and 7.
Yeah.
Because they both have 11 chapters.
Oh, wow.
So we'll be here till the end of the year.
That's good.
Yeah, so.
We have security.
We should live so long, right?
Job security.
With no pay.
You know, and it was funny. We got a while ago yet, but I was thinking, what do we want to do after we do Interior Castle? And I thought maybe one thing we could do to kind of shorten things, you know, we could maybe look at some of the Psalms.
Oh, I love that.
You like that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they got some really nice Psalms.
I would love that because that's a, the whole prayer life before in the Old Testament.
Right.
That's right.
And that the New Testament used. And we don't ever talk about it.
I know. I don't even know.
Yeah. And they're all about the same thing. Yeah. Trust.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I got a book at home. It's Praying the Liturgy. It's small. It's like a little prayer book thing. Mm-hmm. But it does every psalm, and it takes every line.
Isn't
and
that
I said,
nice?
I've been saying stuff, I don't know what it means.
Yeah.
This was, it's a little tiny thing.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
Oh,
that's
I like
good.
That.
And I've got the Navarre Bible volume on the Psalms, so it
I
has the commentary.
Too. I don't know if mine's Navarre or not. I'll have to look.
But it's got the commentary and everything on it.
I thought I grew recommending doing Sirach. I never did that.
Oh, sir. We did Sirach.
Did you?
We did Sirach, yeah.
We did it.
You I wasn't here.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did that.
Yeah, that was good.
I don't know what it's about.
Well, then go back and look at the podcast and download them, and you can
sit. In your spare time.
If you don't want to,
still like 100 behind.
If you don't want to bother downloading them because it takes like an hour each, I could put them on a jump drive for you, and you can just
on
a little flash drive.
What did you put it in? Computer?
Yeah, just put it in computer and just play them.
Okay, just a Sirach.
Yeah.
Do I?
Sirach. I don't know.
And
I might be
can
wrong.
Can I go on like I have a Chrome? Do it in there.
Do what?
Google Chrome.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Chromebook. Chromebook.
As long as you're able to read a flash drive, you can do
what
that.
What is Chrome? I have no idea what this language is.
I don't know.
I can do
like, don't even tell me because I'll forget.
Yeah,
it's
Chrome, I don't know.
With no, not much storage or anything. I actually want it, so
nice.
I don't do that much on it. I
just you don't need storage. All you can do is be able to play it.
I don't know. I'm not allowed to use
my. I finally got an appointment months later, and they call and they said the whole family has COVID, so you have to do a visual. Well, I couldn't do it. I can never keep those patient portals. So, but the doctor finally called. She spent a half an hour. She couldn't do it either. So I had to go into Arlington to use their computer to call the doctor at home.
Oh,
in rush hour, 7 a.m.
Oh, man.
Oh, my gosh.
That's because I'm old. You know, I can learn something easily. I cannot remember it 2 minutes later.
Oh, no.
I don't know. I have a hard time with this.
I told my doctor, I'm not taking any doctors in by Washington.
Well,
I said, I don't go there anymore.
And so I was... She was